11 minutes after 4 South African time on this beautiful Mubarak Friday morning on our program As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. It's the 28th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1443. Let's welcome our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, who's in Cape Town this early Friday morning. Ustad, it's a beautiful morning here in Johannesburg. I hope it's nice and warm and hot in Cape Town. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakumullahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussein, and our Dawood Monta who's there with you. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 28th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1443, and it is the Mubarak blessed day of Jumu'ah Friday. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, we focus on chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verses 90 and 91. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala sent Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as the only exclusively Rahmatul Lil Alameen, a mercy to the entire universe and creation, and the message is global, international, for everybody, all times, all places, all circumstances. The Miladun Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the honorable birth, the auspicious birth of the Master, alayhi salatu salam, peace be upon him, took place in Makkah Mukarramah. And for 40 years, they would call the Master, peace be upon him, As-Sadiqul Amin. You are the most truthful person, the person of honesty, integrity. They would entrust with him, with the Master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their precious items, valuables, and the Master, alayhi salatu salam, who should keep it. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character, impeccable, ma'soom, divine protection, no sin, nothing. And remembered with a small group of people. This is prior to receiving the first revelation, Surah Alaq, and that is chapter 96, the first 5 verses. That group were called the Hunafa. Hunafa meaning, said Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an, and them, that they never ever even tasted the alcohol, wine, swine, never worshipped idols, nothing of that sort. Obviously, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected, and Masoom was, he will always be protected. Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas, and Allah jalla wala protects you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu from the people. Thereafter, the wahi, the revelation, started at the age of 40, and the revelation led to the biggest revolution. Until today, the revolution continues in different parts of the world. So those people, the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, who had 360 idols around the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, the black cube, as you will call it. So for the people who don't understand what we're talking about, nevertheless, they had their idols, they would worship it, venerate it, and so forth. This is the challenge they gave the Prophet, peace be upon him, and said, we will never believe in you. We will never accept the message or the messenger, Allah forbid, Allah forbid, Aliyazubillah, until ABC, XYZ things happen. In Urdu, we have a wonderful saying, agar tu hi na chahe, to bahane hazar. If you don't want to do something, then you will always look for 100,000 excuses. So they knew the Prophet, peace be upon him, is 100% truthful. The message is the truth. But their pride, their arrogance, and that would become an impediment and an obstacle to embrace the truth and to embrace the message and the messenger. So let us see what Quran Kareem states, chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, verses 90 and 91 for today's lesson. وَقَالُوا, and they said, who's they? The mushrikeen, the polytheists, the idol worshippers. First and foremost, those in Makkah Mukarrama, and today's world, the 6 billion of them. Majority of them will say the same thing. And we say we are 7 billion, and majority will say no. That we want to see this, we want to see that. So what happens? The Quran is a living book for all times, all places, all circumstances, a book of guidance. And remember, it is the constitution of every Muslim and the direct speech of Almighty Allah in its preserve, and its preserve in its pure form, authentic form, no addition, no omission, no interpolation. So chapter 17, verse 90, وَقَالُوا, and they said, the polytheist idol worshippers, لَنُؤْمِنَ لَكَ. When the word lan comes like this, it means no now, no in the future. We will never believe in you. We won't bring faith in you. O Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon you. They would not say all that. I am saying it, and we must say it, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hatta, until and unless. تَفَجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعَ, until you cause from the land and the sand a spring, a fountain, water must gush out from there. تَفْجُرَ, to gush out. So you must make sure the water gushes out. We tell you, bring water from here, bring water from here. The water must gush out. Then we will say you are the last and final messenger. See, instead of them embracing, they bring their own demands. And then they say, do this, do that. This is not to reason to embrace Islam. This was a reason not to embrace Islam. And remember, every verse in the noble Quran is called ayah, 6,236 verses, a sign and a symbol for the Muslims and non-Muslims, and the greatest miracle of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Oh, second ultimatum challenge they gave, oh, takuna laka jannah. We are speaking about Makkah. Makkah is desert. Biwadin ghairi di zara'in. No vegetation, no habitation, nothing there. So, oh, takuna laka jannatum min nakhilyu. Oh, there must be for you the garden and the orchard. And what must be the garden and orchard? The garden and orchard must be that it must have min nakhil, the date palms. Wa inabin, and it must have the vineyards. You come here to Cape Town, you go to Baal, Stellenbosch, you see the vineyards. So we want to see the date trees, the date palms. We want to see the vineyards, the grapes. And between all this, فَتُفَجِّرَ الْأَنْهَارَ خِلَالَهَا تَفْجِيرًا. We want to see the rivulets and the streams flowing. خِلَالَهَا, in the midst of these gardens, in the midst of these orchards here. تَفْجِيرًا, and these rivulets and streams, they must be flowing, gushing, and profusely. It must be going, the current must be very, very strong, and so forth. So imagine what were challenges they gave the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Master, alayhi salam, was, this will always be. And when they challenged, the Master, alayhi salam, used to say, Allahumma ihdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Ya Allah, you guide people. My people, ya Allah, they do not know what they are saying. They don't know what they are doing. And then you see, 8 years after the migration, the tables turn. Yadukhuluna fi deenillahi afwaja, to place. They entered into the religion of Islam. How they entered? In droves and droves and droves. Chapter 110. 10 and verse number 2. So it shows that Almighty Allah is teaching us. Initially, there will be difficulty, and subsequently, it will be victory and ease and so forth. So Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, yesterday was an extremely busy day. That was Thursday. Fajr, we went to Masjid Zakaria. We had a program there. Mm-hmm. The importance of Zikrullah and remembering Almighty Allah. And mashallah, after Zuhur, we had a program in Anwarul Islam and the Madrasa students, the Darum students, and they followed the Shafi'i school. So we spoke of Imam Shafi'i, the genius, Rahimahullah, and his legacy. And then after Asr, mashallah, 6:30 to 7:30, by Haji Zahir Esop, he's one of our brothers. We made Hajj together, so he always insists. And thereafter, the night program, mashallah, sunset here is quarter to 8, you know. So 8 to 9 and up past 9 or so, we finished up. And that was there at the place where in Kenwan, and Dr. Nazir is in charge there, the Range Road, you know, Musalla. So wonderful program. And we spoke about the virtues of the masjid and the rights of the masjid upon us and the mosque and so forth. So today's program, inshallah, when we finish with you, we will go to Musalla Miftah. And that is where Brother Haji Abu Bakr Isaac and his son Imran and them are, inshallah. And they will have a program, inshallah, after Fajr. And then at around 10 past 11 South African time, the khutbah, the sermon will start there in Makkah Mukarramah. And that will be rendered by Sheikh Usama Khayyat, the Imam of Makkah Mukarramah. So after the khutbah and salat, we will translate and make dua. And today's program, inshallah, for Jumu'ah Friday, we will be in the Montrose Park Masjid in Mitchell's Plain. The lecture starts at 12:45, mashallah. And tonight after Maghrib in Masjid Darul Rahman, Rahman in Lavender Hill, after Maghrib, where Maulana Jabal Noor is, Noor Moses, mashallah, and there in Montrose Park is Maulana Ashraf Lamara. And mashallah, the weather here is very, very good, and you know, the people are even warmer and better than the weather also, mashallah. Good crowd, so many people coming to meet us and so forth. All, mashallah, reward all of them, and mashallah, our students, our graduates from Darul, Maulana Khatib, Maulana Dawood Samson, Mohammed Azim Abbas, all of them, I met them there last night also. Mashallah. So all, may Allah accept us all. So everything going very, very fine here. And may all, may Allah accept us for his deen. Barakallahu fik.
Ameen, 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 summa ameen. Let's go to Mitchell's Plain this Friday morning, Ustad. A listener wants to know, dear Mufti Saab, is a group dua at Arafat recommended for all Hajis? Ustad, from Mitchell's Plain.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are three things I will tell you, my brother, from Mitchell's Plain. And I see you say Mitchell's Plain. Let me repeat today, Jummah, inshallah, Montrose Park Masjid, Mitchell's Plain. And the lecture starts at 12:45. And tonight, after Maghrib, Masjid Darul Rahman, Lavender Hill. So after Maghrib, Jummah will be where Maulana Ashraf Lamara is. And after Maghrib, there will be where Maulana Noor Moses is, called Jabal. Jabal Noor. Mm-hmm. All our students, all our graduates, mashallah, doing great work. Dua, my brother, let me give you this, it will help you and the esteemed listeners. After Farz Salat, if you make group dua, collective dua, so that also is permissible and recommended, but you must not make it compulsory. If you want an academic discussion on this, there's a hadith kitab called Tirmidhi Sharif, and the commentary of it is, remember, Tuhfatul Ahwadi. In Tuhfatul Ahwadi, under the chapter Babu Zikri, Babu Dua, Ibad al Maktubat, and so forth, that the zikr you make after the first salat, compulsory prayer, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman Mubarak Puri, in Arabic, in Urdu you say Mubarak Puri. Mm-hmm. So he, Rahimahullah, he has mentioned 5 or 6 ahadith there to show that there is dua, remember collectively, and that is after first salat. As long long as you don't consider it compulsory. So that's point number one. Point number two, in Sahih Muslim, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Khudhu anni manasikakum. Take from me your actions of Hajj and Umrah and pilgrimage. Then number three, the Quran Sharif teaches us, first is Quran, then Hadith. Chapter 3, verse 31. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, fattabi'uni. You need to know and understand this word. To study the philology, history. When you have a cow, and the cow gives birth to the calf, that calf is called tabi or tabi'a, male, female. So remember that it means to follow the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immaculately. Fattabi'uni. Yuhbibkumullah, or you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there in Arafat, where Masjid is today, there in Arafat, the mosque is there, Masjid Namira, there the Master alayhi salatu salam rendered, you must remember, the perform the salat, the khutbah, everything. So first the khutbah and then the salat, and that was on a Friday, the 10th year after the hijrah and after the migration. So in the khutbah and then the salat. So when you end the khutbah, what was Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing? So in Arafat, Nabi alayhi salatu salam was teaching the people al-hajju Arafah. Hadith in Tirmidhi. Wahad al-hadith ummul manasik. This hadith is the cornerstone, is the greatest dimension and aspect of Hajj, Imam Tirmidhi states. So remember that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam making dua, the sahaba all participating in the dua. So from there you prove that there is collective dua in Arafat. And remember, if you want all the details, go to Sahih Muslim and the hadith narrated on the authority of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Therefore, when we used to go for Hajj before COVID, and that was Allah's help, Allah must take us again and again and again. Amen. Bar bar haziri nasib farma, haramain sharifain, Majidul Aqsa. Allah take us to Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, Majidul Aqsa Mubarak. With His further grace and mercy, so we always must focus on the mercy of Almighty Allah. So we make collective dua, because remember that also is a sunnah of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustad, somebody wants to know here, Ustad, saying that, Muftisa, please give me the fatwa on how much maintenance should I give for my children, and what are the laws of custody in Islam? I have three children. Son is 8 years old, daughter 5 years old, and the other daughter is 2 years old. And what age do the children come to me, and when can I see them? I'm really missing them, Muftisab. This is the hardest journey of my life. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
Fatwa means the brother is asking us, we must give a verdict. We cannot quantify any amount, my brother, because we don't know your wages. We don't know you, so how are we going to know all your wages and all these type of things? But what I will give you is from the noble Quran, Surah Talaq. You see, you divorce your wife. Who's right, who's wrong, all that Allah knows. I always say it's not two sides to the story, it's three sides to the story. Husband's story, wife's story, and the true story. Because people, they love to add masala. A lot of spices are added. So we have to sift out everything. So I want you, my brother, to go to chapter 65, Surah Talaq, verse number 7. You got it? Chapter 65, the surah's name is Surah Talaq, divorce, verse number 7. Allah states, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِّن سَعَةٍ. Every person should spend according to his means. If you are very wealthy, so give more. It's for your children after all. وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. And whosoever is not so wealthy, his middle class is poor, so spend from what Allah gave you. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. Allah has not burdened any person more than his capacity, ability, capability, except what Allah gave. Allah is not going to tell you, you must go and beg people. people and then give. So what you have, you spend from there is your beloved flowers and children. And don't worry about the current. Sayaj'alullahu ba'da usri yusra. Soon Almighty Allah will turn the tables around. After the difficulty comes ease. After difficulty, Allah will bring relief and ease. Chapter 65, verse number 7. So now, my brother, that is as far as the money goes and so forth. Now you want to, I can make out from the question, you feel that this wife did this, why must I spend so much? So you are burning with that revenge, and I must do this. But you're not going to spend on your wife, you're going to spend more on your children. And she will take care of the children, so you have to pay the rental, you have to pay the water light, you have to pay for the education, you have to pay for their necessary expenses. And she must give you visitation rights. Now your one child is 5, your one child is 2, the other one is 8. My advice to you, and this will be according to all schools, you should not go and separate them now. So leave all of them there by the mother. And remember, maslahatan lil awlad, always look at what is beneficial for the children and not beneficial to your whims and fancies. What you need to do, that divorce is finished now, it's history. Let's go on with the geography. So Almighty Allah states, وَإِيَّتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلَّ مِنْ سَعَتِي. When you have given divorce, Allah will make both parties independent of one another. You need to secure visitation rights. Not that you take the children to your house and so forth. That you make arrangements with the family, your previous father-in-law, former father-in-law, and so forth, and tell them, or brother-in-law, that 3 weekends, give me 2 hours, 3 hours, and I will take them here and there, or you give me a room where I can speak to them, interact with them, and, you know, give them some money and what have you. You want to kiss your children. So speak like that, inshallah. And you, the girl's party, the mother, you also must realize, you have custody now, but you cannot deprive the father. He is the biological father, whether you like it or you don't like it. You can't deprive him of that. Surah 47, verses 22, 23. In tawallaytum, when you have authority, and tufsidu fil ard, you can't cause mischief, mayhem, chaos on this earth, wa tuqattiu arhamakum, and you cause the family ties to be totally cut off, and you sever family ties, so you prevent your children, and you poison their mind, you make it toxic against the father. So all that is haram, my sister. I'm not suggesting you are doing it. I'm giving advice to the thousands of people listening. Azam and Fadli Rabbi. So this is the grace of Allah. If you do that, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ, those are the people Allah curses them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ وَأَعْمَىٰ أَبْصَارُهُمْ, Allah Jalla wa Ala makes them spiritually blind, spiritually deaf, and so forth and so on. Chapter 47, verses 22-23. So both of you come to your senses. Your marriage did not work out. Don't do things out of revenge. Do things for the love and pleasure of Allah, for the benefit of your flowers and children.
Who's that, brother Luke? He says, good morning, sir. Hope you well in Cape Town. And he says that, where does the name Lucifer come from? Because it is not mentioned in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Brother Luke, Ustad.
My brother Luke, you were looking in the Bible and you didn't find it in the Bible. So we say that he is Shaitan. You see, S-H-A-Y-T-A-N. Now, in Arabic, when you speak of it, then we have what we call philology. We go into the history of the word. So in English, you will say Satan and Satan and so forth and all that, you know. So all these words we use. So when you say Shaitan or plural Shayateen, so we go to the root letter Sha, Twa, Na, Sheen, Twa, Noon. It means Ba'uda. It means to be far, far away from the mercy of Almighty Allah. So when Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, out of His grace and mercy, on a Friday, He created the masterpiece of His creation, Prophet Adam, peace be upon him. From Saturday to Thursday, Allah created the universe and creation. On Friday, the masterpiece. And remember, thereafter, Almighty Allah commanded the angels and Lucifer and Shaitan and Iblis, is all the same. So you must also prostrate this prostration is not out of worship, but out of respect to this masterpiece. All the angels prostrated one time simultaneously, and he refused out of his arrogance and jealousy. Aba wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He defied Almighty Allah, and he was proud, and he was from the disbelievers. All that happened. When Almighty Allah asked him, obviously Almighty Allah's knowledge, all-embracing, all-encompassing, ma mana'aka Allah tajjuda id amartuk, what prevented you from performing the sajda and prostrating when I commanded you? Listen to his answer. He said, ana khayrun min, I'm better than him, I'm superior to him. So khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire, and the flame goes upwards. You created him from sand and dust and clay that remains on the ground. So I'm superior. So that was all his pride and arrogance. His name was Azazil. Iblis' name was Azazil. So we as Muslims give you the reasoning, the rationale, and everything from the Arabic perspective. What you have to do, my brother Luke, you have to go to your priest, your pastor, your pope, and tell them why in English we call him the Satan, the accursed, that Lucifer, and so forth. So you need to go into the philology of it, even though the word is not mentioned in the Bible and so forth. It is the translation. And you know, brother Luke, a translator many a time is a traitor. So sometimes they twist the meanings of the words. So therefore, we will give you all the Arabic terminology and the rationale and the wisdom behind it. But as far as the English goes, that you have to go to Mr. Google or Mrs. Google, and you go and put Lucifer, L-U-C-I-F-E-R, and then say, tell me what is the philology, and that they'll give you the whole story there.
Subhanallah. I see the brother says here, I'm a bit confused regarding the question of brother Luke. People talk about the devil as a single entity. So why is it that when you guys talk about the devil, you guys talk about his workers? Is there more than just one devil? This is Nicholas, Ustad.
100% Nicholas, right? Remember, Quran speaks of that. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِي. Are you taking the Iblis, the Shaitan, and his progeny as your friends, as your protectors besides me? So he's not only one devil, it is he, his wife, his children, his progeny, and not only in the jinn form, in the satanic form, even in human form. And all this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Let me give you the verses, and you can then refer and allude to it, my brother Nicholas. And that is chapter 18, Surah Kahf. Every Muslim is supposed to read it today, and verse number 50, chapter 18, verse 50, that Almighty Allah speaks of him, that is Satan, Lucifer, Iblis, and his progeny, his wife, everybody, because wadurriyatahu, so everybody comes in there. And thereafter, Almighty Allah tells us yet in another verse, shayateen al-insi wal-jinni yuhi ba'duhum ila ba'din zukhruf al-qawli hurura. You get the shayateen, the plural of Satan, Satan, Lucifer, in human form and jinn form, and they incite one another, and they give mesmerizing speeches and lectures, the orators par excellence, they captivate the crowd, and the people say, but what a speaker, what a orator. But whenever they invite you towards abortion, they invite you towards condoms, they invite you towards the gay brigade, they invite you towards kufr and blasphemy and shirk and polytheism, then these are the agents of Satan and Satan and Lucifer. Chapter number 6 and verse 112. So we get every person, politician or otherwise, who is calling towards something which is batil, falsehood, they are the agents of Satan, of Lucifer, Shaitan and Iblis. So chapter number 6 and verse number 112. Therefore, we as Muslims, we always say, before we start reading the Noble Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection from the shaitan, the Satan, and all his cronies, who is accursed. He was expelled from Jannah and Paradise, and never will he see it again because of his jealousy, pride, and arrogance.
Sister Ranel says that, sir, have you heard about a Pakistani who was linked to the kidnappings, has been shot dead in Johannesburg, and he was released on bail recently, and a man walked up to him and shot him in the head. Sister Ranel says, don't you think your Muslims, you guys are inviting crime in South Africa? Ranel, Ustad.
My sister Ranel, you know South Africa has got two parts. One is when we had the white minority regime, which we call apartheid. Mm-hmm. Was that not a crime against humanity, my sister Ranel? Did you cover it in your newspapers because you are the hotshot journalist, my sister? Were the white minority who used to call us police and the K word, and they told me on my face, and they told my parents and my siblings, Khan Nadikuli talk to? How did we feel? Was that not a crime? Was that not a crime against humanity? So we need to think about that. Did you carry all the stories of the apartheid rogue terrorist regime of Israel when they are carrying out the ethnic cleansing for more than 70 years against the Palestinians? Did you carry the story of the BJP and RSS there in India, Kashmir, who are slaughtering the Muslims and kicking them out from their places where the Muslims ruled for 700 years in India? What is happening in Assam? What is happening in Kashmir? So we are not here to cover up for the Pakistanis or anybody, but we need to be fair to all parties concerned. So you have Pakistani syndicates, and many of them are guilty, and they are involved in the hawala business. I don't know if you know what is hawala and so forth. You must remember, you, Ranel, I'm going to teach you a term which I'm 100% sure you don't understand, or you never use the term. That they use a term, the Pakistanis, they call it Kala Paisa. You must write it down. What they call it? Kala Paisa. K-A-L-A, that's one, and Paisa, P-A-Y-S-A. So whenever you have Kala Paisa, you have illegal money and so forth and so on, you want to transfer $1 million, you want to transfer $5 million, you want to transfer rands, you want to transfer rupees and so forth. So they say Kala Paisa here, so transfer it to Dubai. Transfer it to here and there. So that is how they have agents. And those people here, then they get involved in the hawala transactions. Most of the time, it is not legal. It's all done under the radar, because you must remember, they have their people at the airports, they have their agents, and everybody gets a kickback and a commission out of it. And if that person does not pay, then no questions are asked. You must remember that the deal turns sour, they will hire a hitman, and they're ruthless, and they will just come. You could see, so many people send it to me, that person who he was, who is, Allah alone knows, we don't know him. Somebody came from the back, one bullet straight, end of the story. So these are what we call hitmen. And what is the rationale reason? 90% of the time, hawala, the hot money, transferred from here, South Africa, to Dubai and there. What you call it, Sister Ranel, Kala Paisa. It means the black money, if you want the literal translation. So it's not only involving Pakistanis, but they are the big chiefs in it. Remember that they run their syndicates and so forth. So therefore, our function must be, whoever does wrong, Muslim, non-Muslim, Pakistani, American or Australian or whoever, we must expose the whole lot. So that is what we are saying. So don't pick on one only. You need to have consistency, my sister Ranel, and deliver the truth to the people. After all, we need to be fair journalists and reporters. That is our message to one and all.
Well said, Ustad. Well said. I see brother Edward Ustad, and he says next to it that Delta is listening as well, from New Zealand. Brother Edward wants to know that how true is it that Malcolm X's daughter found dead in New York? Is that true? Because she exposed the FBI behind Malcolm X's assassination. Ustad, brother Edward.
My brother Edward and Delta, you are there sitting in Auckland, and here by us the time is 4:45, and there by you it is 2:45 in the afternoon. You are 10 hours ahead of us in beautiful New Zealand, Auckland, and we visited you on 3 different occasions. Wonderful place. All might Allah bless you. We're still waiting for the two of you to visit our country, but now they say South Africa is on the red list, you see. So when we were in school, they used to teach us of Little Red Riding Hood. Now they speak of Little Red Lust, you know. So we don't know. And when the referee also wants to send off a player, he takes out the red card. So red teams that were dangerous, you know. So you're listening to me, Delta. Hope you well, your wife is well, Edward, you, your family are well, and so forth and so on. So I want to speak to you of Malcolm X. I want to speak to you about Malcolm X's daughter. So I want you to write it down, Delta and Edward. Before we speak of Malcolm X, let us speak of a Palestinian academic, a genius, a giant. I have his books. His name is Ismail Farouki, Professor Ismail Farouki. So you got the spelling Ismail Farouki, Farouki, or they might spell it Faruqi. So when you become a genius, when you become a person who beats the system of the West, then they understand and they perceive you to be a big threat to them. So then liquidate him, exterminate him, get rid of him, and so forth, or her for that matter. My sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, beat the Americans in the American system. They could not stick it. How can a Pakistani lady beat us? So what they do, trumped up charges, and then send her, the Pakistani politicians, my sister Ranel, they're too corrupted to the core by President Pervez Musharraf, also another murtad and out of the fold of Islam, sold her, and then she landed up in Bagram in Afghanistan. My sister Yvonne Ridley found her there. She wrote the whole book, Remember, in the Hands of the Taliban, and then from there she sold again. Then she lands up in America, one of the biggest miscarriage of justice. For her, my sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, and for my brothers there in Gitmo. Go see all this, then you will understand what is the real geopolitics and what's going on. Go to Professor Ismail Farouki and go see. They murdered him and his wife because the Jewish lobby and them know that he knew what exactly going on in Palestine and how they fooled the world, the Zionists, the apartheid regime of Israel and so forth and so on. Every day they want to occupy and steal the land and justify it and so forth. In Sweden, the one professor spoke against them. Instead of speaking for justice, they chastise him and they're saying that he must be suspended and so many things. All this broke yesterday, day before yesterday. Malcolm X, when he came into the fold of Islam, he had the black Pan-African mentality that Islam is for the blacks only and so forth. No, Islam is for everybody. So you must remember when he went for pilgrimage and so forth and so on, then he saw that Islam is an international religion for all times, all places, all races, all ethnic groups, enter into the fold of Islam. But he knew on Black Friday what the man used to do in America and Europe, and is to sell the African slaves, and is to torture them, persecute them. And today they want to come tell us about Black Friday. So when he wrote his name, Malcolm X, because you are one who sold my father and my grandfather and treated us worse than rubbish and worse than animals. So that is the truth. No white person can reject all these things here. So when his daughter and them discovered everything, CIA, FBI, they got so many things against them. And remember that, you see, that they treat the black man, even today, where is the justice? The Floyd murder and all in front of you. So you need to go into all this. So what you do, Edward and Delta, go into Dr. Afia Siddiqui. Go into Professor Ismail Farouki. Go into Gitmo. Go into Malcolm X. And you will see who's the hidden hand there. And remember these type of things here. All this, they make people fools because every day the masses are asses. Remember that. They fool the people. We want democracy. We want human rights. Where is the democracy, human rights in Egypt, who you are propping up? Where is the human human rights and the democracy in Saudi Arabia, who you are propping up? Where is the human rights and democratic system and so forth in the rogue apartheid regime of Israel for the Palestinians? So all this is hogwash and just cheap talk. Remember that. They are masters. Kissinger said, we don't have friends. We only have interest. We will use you and then we will drop you. And this is my words. They will drop you like a condom. So they use you and throw you out. But the Muslims will never learn and the world will never learn. They will continue with the bootlicking of America, but we will expose them, inshallah, with the mercy and grace of Allah. So that is our message. You got it, my brother Delta and my brother Edward. Allah guide you to the truth and Allah Ta'ala make all of us true Muslims and ambassadors of Islam. Maaf Maulana, today was Friday, so we gave a little bit extra time. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Ustad, just before you leave us quickly, brother, Matthew wants to know what's the difference between their holy water and our holy water, Zamzam. He wants to know, isn't that the same, because their holy water has miracles as well? Matthew, Ustad.
So, Matthew, you must remember that your holy water is man-made. You say that you're baptizing the baby and so forth. Ours is, remember, running for thousands of years. Go read Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, and you will see Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him. He left his honorable wife there. Biwad in ghayri zi zar'in. You must go now, Matthew, there to your Bible and punch in the word in Google. And Paran or Faran, P-A-R-A-N or F-A-R-A-N, and you will find it will pop up, and that is what the Quran speaks about. He, Prophet Abraham, left his son Ismail, who the Bible and them and Christians say Ishmael. And remember that the place is Makkah, which the Bible calls Paran or Faran, and the Quran speaks of it in Surah 14, chapter 14 and verse number 37. And then he, Abraham, made dua, petition, supplicated Allah. Faja'al afidatan minan nasi tawi ilayhim. Ya Allah, let the hearts of some people flock to Makkah. You see millions and millions of people coming there. Warzuqhum min al-thamarat. Grant them the fruits. The first thing Allah granted them was Zamzam water. So our water is from Allah directly. Jibreel alayhi salam, the archangel Gabriel, came and he smashed the land and the sand with his wing, and the water gushed out. Ma'u zamzama lima shuriba lahu. Authentic hadith in Ibn Majah. Whatever intention you make for drinking at the time of drinking, Allah will fulfill it. So read chapter number 14, Surah Ibrahim, chapter Ibrahim, verse 37. And you, that is your water, is, you must remember, baptized water. The priest, he prays on it. Man-made. You know Prophet Bushayri. You know, my brother Matthew, look, you remember Prophet Bushayri? He is the so-called prophet, but 100% imposter. So he would give his people holy water. Read holy water and hallelujah and thus and all. When they caught him, he ran away to Malawi. Our authorities don't know how he disappeared. Sure. You see all the corruption. Bring him back, they can't even bring him back from Malawi. So he was giving the people so-called holy water. So that's the difference, my brother, that your water is man-made and cooked-up water. Ours is pure, divine water, and therefore you can't apply analogy. Helping people, people remember it is in their mind, mind over matter, that they go there, you got 100 doctors in your town, 50 doctors, you only go to one, two doctors, because you say this guy is the true doctor, the other guy is a quack, or whatever you're going to say. So therefore, before you enter the surgery, you're already feeling better. So that is mind over matter. So that is our answer, my brother. May Almighty Allah guide us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My brother Idris Mayat is waiting for me here. I better go now.